Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the
Cool down.
Ah, shit, man. Guys, normally, can I just say, Selo's normally leading that.
Guys,
you know, his enthusiasm went above and above beyond the stadium, like Fernandez's ball.
The energy should be coming from only one man. On today's episode, and his name is Wonga Dega. He's the only one to get a W this past weekend.
Matt lost, I lost,
and Claudio drew against the newly promoted side. So Wonga,
point gained. A point gained. We are top of the log. That's how I see it. So don't put me in the negative category.
I am saying
there's no W there.
You know, that's the thing. Hans put us in the same feeling that he's got. You know,
got
we lost to one of the reigning champ, you know, so it's allowed for us to lose from the reigning champs. Silo,
yeah, look, beating Man City is not for everyone. Yourselves.
Yeah, beating Man City is not for everyone.
Tough times.
Gentlemen, to everyone watching, I can feel the heat already this time.
Damn it.
Yeah, Moss is knowing he's stepping into a warm kitchen. Yeah, we know Selo. He actually had his Man United shirt off before the show with his wife beat on because he knows the heat's on. But yes, we've got Matinho, bottom right corner. Say what's up, Matt. Then we've got Selo, Lolo, Kale. We've got the Man United devil there, not looking as flummy as he normally is.
The real devil's looking after me here.
The devil had to do the work this weekend.
And the darling brew, the good old darling brew. We've got the battle royale happening tonight. By the way, if you're in the comments and you are watching, just send a player's name, whichever player you want this weekend or whoever you thought was the best player of the weekend. You type their name in the comment. Every time that name pops up, they'll be having a sip. Then top right corner, we have Moss. I don't know what you're drinking. What are you drinking there, Moss?
A little bit of whiskey, you know, a whiskey evening over here.
That's good. Hey, and before we carry on, man, Moss, tell us where you were on Saturday.
I was in Mafeking, Muff Town, celebrating a wedding of one of my dearest friends. Why are you asking me so many questions?
Let's give him a shout out, man. We need to give a shout out for such things in the world, bro. Come on. Let's say
Shout out Katlego Shoro for the great weekend and the amazing wedding. Oh, lolo.
Shoro got married. Well done, Shoro.
It's possible. Anyway, now that Selo's delaying the inevitable, Wonga Dega, the center in the middle there, a happy gunner, finally, after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of tears.
It's happy days.
No, it's happy days. That was probably the best performance of the season and our best performance in a long time, to be honest. Yeah. I think that was, those first 30 minutes, gee whiz. Rampant. But like Henry said, it wasn't unexpected. I think what did surprise me was actually us holding that out through the whole game, because most other games we played, we also started well first 10 minutes.
Sorry. Wonga, I'm just going to stop you right there. Can you just see what happens when your team does well?
What's just the introduction?
It's ready.
The man's getting ready. Wonga. He wants to give the analysis breakdown now.
Wonga, it's fine. You deserve it. You got your result. You deserve it.
Wonga. Don't let these haters, rain on it. Like, I understand it's hard because as an Arsenal fan, you're not used to having the opportunity to speak positively about your side. So,
you know, guys, 3 points. 3 points.
Let him take his shot. This isn't going to happen often. I think let's.
No, guys. We've got,
don't,
it's a long season.
Don't spoil
it's
his
a
big
season.
Day, Claudio. Come on.
Enjoy it, Wonga. Enjoy it, sir. Celebrate.
Wonga, you enjoy it. But I just want to say, gentlemen, I mean, it is a good time there. But it is time to actually talk about the first game, Musa. You're trying to deflect, but we're going to look into the Chelsea-Man City game here. This is where we need to start. The first game, kickoff, lunchtime kickoff. Let's hear it. And also shout out to Pums and who else is here? Kolwa. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, keep going, Musa.
Tough times, you know. I don't think we were at our best on the day. I think we were playing a team that does know how to press us very well. Yes, last season we were coming off the back of, a string of victories against Man City. Had our opportunities towards the end of the season and in the Champions League. But I guess they were better prepared for us on the day. And I was a little bit, when I saw the lineup with Timo Werner and Lukaku, I was quite excited to see how we might express ourselves and let Werner take the second ball off of Lukaku a lot of the time, but it just didn't materialize. And I guess, that's probably why I thought Lukaku isn't the striker for the team. I do respect him and all the work that he's done, but they are BMT players, you know, and you need them to come up in these type of teams.
Guys, Musa has been waiting for him just to stumble a bit and saying, this is why I had doubts.
He names their front two. He names Werner and Lukaku and picks Lukaku as the one that's not up to scratch.
You're right. It's crazy.
Because, you know, Werner only got one lens. We can't do this again this whole season, right? Werner already showed us last season that, you know, he's going to need another number nine around him to kind of feed him the second ball. He's got that number nine in Lukaku, but they weren't really on song and in sync this time around. I think, as Pumlani says, we were flat. We never came to bring our best performance out. And in my view, you know, if you're going to spend like £97 million on a player, you're going to want them to shine in the big games. And that's exactly why you'd buy them for. You know, you don't buy them for the low-lying teams where it's Arsenal's defense and he has one or two goals. You buy them for the bigger games, the Man Cities, the ones which are you need a sheer brilliance and sheer execution on the day. And it is something for him to consider. What's happening there, Claude?
Sorry, gents, just a little update. Tux versus UFS in the semi-final of the Varsity Cup football tournament.
Where our other member is the coach.
Yes, Nick is there currently. And they have just suffered a penalty. And UFC have taken the lead 2-1, 57 minutes being played. So it's going to be a big, digging deep session there for Tux. And Nick's
Come on, boys. Okay. Come on. Let's get back level. Come on, gents.
Anyway, sorry, Musa. We got Sam saying Chelsea looked how they were playing against Liverpool in second half. However, they were 11 this time.
I think. Yeah, if I look at the game, for me, I see Man City tactically also. I think most tactically, most of it was more tactical. I think tactically their plan was better than Chelsea. And I think that's why Chelsea couldn't do anything. I think Pep Guardiola looked at it. He tried to, he knew the way you guys were playing. There were certain things, certain guys did. And Pep, he just didn't allow Chelsea to play. And I think even in the end result, like you guys had 5 shots, 0 on target. Man City, yes, I think the goal was a very fortunate one, but they were able to take 15 and get even more on target, you know. So I see it more Man City. More prepared than Chelsea.
I think also Wanga, something that you just added there, you said there, is that also, guys, last season, Tuchel beat Pep the last two games that they played, basically. You know what I mean? They beat them in the semi-final of the FA Cup, and then they beat them in the Champions League. Guys, Pep had to figure it out eventually. And Pep definitely figured it out in this game. I've played this guy so many times, he's outsmarted me. Today, I'm going to outsmart him and prove that I am actually this great manager that people claimed me to be. And this was his game for him to obviously get one over another big team. And also, obviously, after drawing against Southampton and losing against Spurs, they had to win this game, you know, in actual fact. Because obviously, being further behind like a Chelsea and a Liverpool wouldn't have helped City in terms of trying to defend the title. So I think, it was just Pep's day of... You know, it was his day. Everything went for him. That goal was obviously was a bit of a deflection, but you know, some things like that go for you in tight games.
Yeah, exactly. And in a tight game where you are in the ascendancy, right, where you are the better team in certain parts of the field. And that's where my disappointment comes from that game. The fact that, you know, players like Lukaku and Werner were both in the starting lineup, it was the first time I got to see that. And I thought, okay, it's got to be at a different approach where maybe Lukaku's going to fend and feed off Werner to see him express his pace behind him. But it just wasn't playing out as tactically planned. And that's it happens, you know, with the teams that you play of that caliber. Sometimes you don't come up to scratch, but yeah, we just have to look forward. We've got more games, more Champions League action happening tonight. So we have to just, take it and move on.
Guys, is it me or Musa sounds a bit deflated? Hey, like it's taking that energy, that that noise that he created at the start, like, it's just taking him out, guys. There's no more noise anymore.
It's only two settings.
Should all be deflated here. Don't be happy about what Man United did, sir. You know.
I don't know if he's deflated as much as he is pragmatic. Because I think when you get a score line like that, you've just got to look at it and you've got to roll with the punches.
I was drunk most of the weekend, so I don't know what Man United did, man.
Nothing. They did absolutely nothing.
Maybe that's why that's such a poor result, Settle. They felt you were taking a break, so they thought they could take a break. I think that's what was going on there.
It's your fault, Jim. It's your fault.
Just from the Chelsea perspective, more so. You're looking at this result. Obviously, now Man City get one up. How crucial is this loss in the title race when you're losing to the former champions?
Look, you know, in these type of league performances, I always take every game as it comes. I'd maybe even suggest all other teams do that. And if you were to look at the past six games, I think our record has been very good. This game we did falter, and we never faltered too far back. It was a lackluster performance, but not really like the worst performance that we've ever had. So there are some positives to take from the game. It is Man City, and you've got to give them their respect as well. You know, it's a team that's got star-studded players left, right, and center, and the manager seems to be getting it right at this point in time with that team. So you have to respect that about the game. So in the long run for the league, I think it happens to lose one or two games. It's more about how we bounce back and how we can continue to maximize the points up for grabs. You have to really, really come and show stakes to the rest of you top four, right? Like to show that, except for you there, Wanga, to show Liverpool, United and Tottenham, you know, that we're going to be there and going to be trying to get all the points when we do come up against each and every one of you as well. So
Tottenham is below us. Like, I don't know what to say. Tottenham is below us.
I'm doing the same points now.
Tottenham are below us. Same points, what? They're below us. They're below us.
That's only in the table. That's not in
the table. You're back,
Wanda.
No, you're back.
Oh, shit.
Your heart.
Wow, guys. You guys are both on 9 points, and both your goal difference is minus five.
Spurs are 11.
It's been an impressive mirroring of events.
No. Celo. Where is Arsenal number 10, right?
Wonga. It is your week, but being 10th is nothing to boast about.
I'm just telling you what's obvious here.
It's one goal in it, and it's going mad.
Enjoy, Wanga. Enjoy, Wanga, boy. Enjoy it. You came from far, champ. You came from far down there.
They did. They've been climbing, and they climbed quickly.
We are coming from far.
Wait, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Wanga. Where are you going up there?
But is everyone forgetting that Wanga, there was a chance he would have had a bleached head today? And I think maybe that's what he's more excited about.
Yes. No, guys. That's what put the bitch.
He survived the beast.
You're in the clear, boy.
Yeah, I think we're gonna see Moss's bleached beard before we see Wanga's bleached hair.
Not if you play the top four opponents anytime soon. I think that's my frustration about Lukaku. Sometimes, you know, he's a striker that needs 40 opportunities to score one goal. And that's how he left when he was at Man United. Earlier on, he needed a lot of fucking churn, a lot of opportunities, a lot of first touch opportunities where you think there's no way. And now he's at Chelsea and I was expecting the same player. There are elements where he has improved. I won't take that away from him. He's a lot more technically disciplined, tactically more aware, and kind of keeping to his role very well. But there's still, in my personal opinion, there's still too many gaps to warrant the fact that he's a £97 million player, in my view.
I think he's still stuck on the figure. You just gotta forget the price tag. Yeah,
like it's Harry Maguire. Like everyone was like £80 million defender. £80 million defender. Guys, he didn't.
But that's why you get it.
He didn't ask. But that's we bought for £80 million.
Okay, but can we at least say that Lukaku is more worth the 96 than Harry Maguire was the 85? Or was that just me just looking from a Liverpool lens? No, I'm asking.
I don't know.
Wapa, please. Yes, by a laugh.
All right, gentlemen, so about the Chacharachness, I think it's time because, like Sam said in the comments, energy has been transferred to Wonga, and now Wonga's taking the energy out of the frame.
He forgets I've got admin rights. I can remove him off the show here. my team, from the 8 minutes that I watched, in the last 8 minutes I watched, and obviously I think the highlights that I watched and reading about the game, Villa deserved the 3 points. So it's not like a smash and grab situation. They had a very easy chance that Matt Target shot over the bar and so on. You know, I think Man United, so frustrating. You know, I think if you look at a player like Mason Greenwood, there was twice where he shouldn't have shot or he shouldn't have forced the shot. And he could have actually taken an easy option to pass. Exactly. And he was greedy. You know, the one instance was when Bruno, he could have actually passed it to Bruno and Bruno would have been directly with the in front of the goals type of thing, where
like a penalty spot kind of situation,
not like a penalty spot type of situation. Because at least it's not a penalty situation, but I get what you say. I get what you're getting at. Matt. Yes, I will get to that soon.
The
after.
Ball will be in the stands.
And then there was another situation where Greenwood was through on goal. He was running. And he delayed, came in a bit to got his left foot. And as he did that, he should have just passed it like blindly to the back to where he was, because Ronaldo was making an overlap pass. And then he decided he took a bit too long. And then Ronaldo became in an offside position. And then he's still forced to shoot. And then he went wide. So I think in those instances, I think what we sometimes get helped with is that individual brilliance does get out of a tough spot.
Trouble.
But also, we should be obviously passing a bit more to one another. And I think that's where the team lacks, you know, those, you know, that, I don't know, if it's the tactics or whatever, you
it's
know.
McFred. It's McFred.
No,
it lacks McFred.
Let's leave that because, I'll probably go on for about 30 minutes. I'll go on about it for. I can write a thesis about what's wrong with McFred as a partnership. But
can we just agree? Can we just say the McFred combo is quite a killer, and it's no different to McDonald's. It can lead to obesity. You must watch out there, boy. It's gonna make your team struggle.
bloated defense.
But just say something about the McFred. About the McFred partnership. About the McFred partnership, they asked Ole today in the press conference about why does he start McTominay and Fred together. And he actually spoke about them like people describe them, a partnership, you know what I mean? He said that they give me a lot of energy. I can rely on them, and they cover a lot of ground. And we've been successful with them as a partnership in the midfield. That's what he said. And when you play against, Man City or whatever, where maybe you're going to be defending a lot of the game, right? Then you play your McFred and whatever, and you score on the counter, whatever. That's okay.
You would never play. I'd even be scared to play Fred even in that Man City game.
It'd be
scarier.
But we beat them last season. We beat them.
But it's actually scarier, dude. It's actually scarier having a player that's going to be looking sideways and backwards there.
But that's the thing, is that they are effective against Man City. We've beaten Man City so many times in Pep's reign. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer against Pep, who's won more games? Ole has beaten Pep more. Because why? Pep, I don't know why, but Ole knows how to play against Pep.
Why? I don't know why.
He just knows how to do it. It's mind blowing.
He's used McFred a lot in those games, and it just works for those type of games. But it won't work against, you know, Aston Villa, man. You need to get on the ball. You need to dominate, man. You must make sure that you're the guys who are dominating the midfield. You don't let them to dictate for you at home, even worse. But at the end of the day, I think Solskjaer, obviously, these next two games this week before the international break, let's see what he does. Obviously, you know, Man United's not a pull the trigger type of club currently. They are a wait and see type of club, type of thing. And obviously when it gets really bad, I think maybe then there might be a lot of pressure, but the pressure is already there. That's from the fans, but from the club in itself, I don't think there's that much pressure because
I think Cristiano Ronaldo is going to add a lot more pressure right now.
He's a yes man. Always a yes man. They like a coach is a yes man. He's never said anything against the board. Whereas a Mourinho previously would say stuff against the board. So already they felt that the coach was uncontrollable, but Ole is controllable. He's a nice guy. Doesn't say much. Yeah. You know, doesn't get angry. So I think they'll probably keep him in the job. And let's see what he does tomorrow against Villarreal, a tough opponent. They just got a draw against Real Madrid on the weekend. But yeah, let's see what he does against Villarreal and then Everton before the international break. But if he can get those two victories, then I think obviously then we'll come back to international break and then obviously feeling a bit calmer as Man United fans. But if we see something similar again. Ah, man.
Ole out! Ole out!
What's his favorite saying? His favorite saying, yeah. Gents, I just want to read.
Boiling, boy. It's too much.
I just want to read a couple of the comments here. Colbert is saying, Man United is a team that plays matches expecting individual players to win games for them. I think we agree on that point. Pumalani is saying, Calvin Phillips for Man United. I think that's also a decent shot. And then last one here by Sam. United's defense opens more easily than a box of celebrations. I don't even remember when they last kept a clean sheet. Now, talking about the...
Claudio, what is the one thing I cry about on pre-match Muti every single time I'm on the show? I beg for a 1-0 win. I beg for a 1-0 win because at least a 1-0 win for me is a better than a 3-2 or 3-1 victory because at least I felt that these guys didn't open up the back door. And as Sam said, United's defense opens more easily than a box of celebrations. I could have used a word, a more another idiom, but a bit more. I X-rated for the show
about opening.
Why do you say X? This is uncut. It's not X-rated. Well, I suppose it is X-rated if it's uncut there. Sorry. Also, Sam asking, let's be honest. Do you expect United to win anything? And I'm not going to ask you, Cello. I'm going to ask Matt, who's used to a club not winning anything, because maybe he can see from a different lens.
I'm the expert.
Man United will not win anything?
Connoisseur, Matt, we don't win.
Connoisseur of not winning. I mean, that said, I think where United are lucky, they do, and you know, the comment about from Colo about Man United expecting individuals to win games. In truth, there's a lot of sides that are like that. There's a lot of sides that are reliant on one or two players and they just set themselves up to not lose and hope that the individuals win it for them. Where United are lucky is that they've got a lot of individuals who can do that. I mean, Greenwood didn't have a great day, but let's be honest, there's been plenty of times over the last couple of months where he has done that, where he's stepped up and he's done it. Mm. You got Ronaldo who's never going to be, it's never going to be able to write him off. So I think it was a bad day. I do think United have to consider themselves with a shout. I think the problem they're going to have is that it's what we've seen with Ole time and again, and even the McFred discussion is like he's tactically inflexible. So he's got a good partnership there that works for certain types of games, such as the City one. But then he'll throw it in every single game, you know. And he needs to have that kind of that ability to change himself up. And I think if they are going to win something, it'll be because they've gotten rid of Ole, is the truth. I don't think he's the kind of manager who's going to get it over the line. And because they've got the squad that should be winning stuff. The guys at the top should really be scared of United. And I don't think they've as yet shown their ability to eke out those victories. And that's always been the hallmark of United. The United sides that used to win stuff every year, they would play badly and win anyway. You know, they'd eke out those 1-0 draws. It would be dirty and they do it. And I just don't see this side isn't like that.
But to be fair, they did it against Wolves and they did it against West Ham.
But even
they got away with that.
I mean, look, Spurs also did that earlier this season. You know, we had three dirty 1-0 wins that we maybe didn't deserve. I think there's a difference between having that happen a couple of times and showing the ability to do that over the course of an entire season. You know, getting the occasional dirty victory is not the same as being able to consistently get results in the face of bad individual performances. United haven't got that yet.
Nah, man. Yeah. You know, guys, the biggest thing with Man United is, guys, we've signed three world-class players, but we've not improved as a team. We just have more players that have individual brilliance. That's all. So you imagine you're not... That's not good. Where's Chelsea? Chelsea have improved with the signings that they've made. cool.
The departments are better.
So Lukaku already has improved Chelsea, right? Yeah. And then obviously because last season we felt that they didn't have a proven goal scorer, so they've already improved them. You know, and then you look at Liverpool getting back their injured players, and then adding a Konate, which is at least gives them some options in terms of their centre back, has already strengthened them. Man United, their team as options has strengthened, but their team as a playing team hasn't strengthened. Which then you have to look at who signed the person who signed the players. He's not even playing Sancho to give him minutes, and so that he can build up some form. He's putting him in a bit pot player, which doesn't make sense as well. So,
did he sign him to play, or did he sign him to keep Donny company? Like, they got a little collection of players who aren't there to play.
Yeah, they're just buddies. They're for the vibe.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, you know, they just...
Vibes United, like similar shirts.
That speaks to why I think the days are running very slim for Ole Gunnar, because, you know, he's got everything, right, underneath his in his arsenal. He's got a really very, very talented goalkeeper in De Gea.
That word arsenal isn't good to be attaching to.
Okay, he's got big guns. He's got big guns. And players like De Gea who are there, Varane, who's used to winning things and is always eager to win things from the back next to Maguire. You've got a Pogba who has won things with Varane back in the day and has won a lot in football as well. You've got Bruno and Cristiano up the spine of the club. Those lads are going to get to a point themselves as a group of players where they decide, look, we've been coached by better players. Better managers. We know what it takes to eke out results. We've done it ourselves. There's going to be real question marks, not only us to other players in the club, but to the manager directly, where players like Cristiano are actually going to put in a lot more pressure on Ole. There's going to be a lot more scrutiny that comes with them being there. They consulate professionals that want to improve and want to grow and want to have some silver at the end of the season.
No, I definitely agree. I think you know, we need to obviously. Cristiano can't just say that now. He can't just say that today. You know, he can't just say that. Hey guys, listen. You know, let's just change things, you know. And actually, interesting enough, I was watching a bit of a 2 minute video or 1 minute, 30 minute video earlier on where there's a person who was actually analyzing the tactics that Man United employ, right? And he was showing that actually you're using the wrong people for the tactics. You know, you're using, McTominay and a Fred for the tactics that you have, now. But whereas a Matic and a Donny would be better for the tactics. So why don't you use or a Matic and a Pogba would be better for the things. But the problem is that because Solskjaer is, I must not lose. Not I must win. It must be I must not lose.
And so he's
I must
a great not, PSL coach.
I must not lose is McFred, is the McFred. But if I must win, he would obviously play players that put him on the front foot. Like a Matic. Matic, he's slow, but at least when he's on the ball, he's comfortable. He protects it and he knows how to get the ball from the defenders and play it to the further midfielders, you know. And a Pogba also knows the same thing, you know. But he's just using the wrong players who are trying to learn on the job. You can't learn at a Man United, man. You can go learn at an Arsenal, bro. But we don't.
And that's no.
Trust
that's
me,
no
you get the win, all right, guys. You must have been accepted.
Yeah, Wonga, just remind
me. There wasn't giving us problems, but it's true, man. That's why, like, McFred pairing is disastrous to get the team to play like a team. It's a lot of individuals, as one of the comments mentioned, it's a lot of individuals that are on the field, but the team is like two camps. Dude, you have the defensive camp, which is literally 50 yards away, and then you have the attacking camp, which is another 50 yards away. There's nobody that links him up, and a Matic can do that. Yes, he may not have the legs, but if he's there for the 60 minutes, he'll probably get a result Greenwood exactly. around him. Yeah, but Cristiano around him and the likes.
Ish, man. Tough times are going to continue for me, man. So you might see me sadder always, guys. So on Thursday show, if we lose tomorrow, you know, I'll be sad again.
I'm going to play you a tiny violin, bro. I feel so bad for you. tough times.
Tough times, and they got her in Melbourne. The squad, where Bruno on the squad.
Top four.
Imagine. But about that, before we leave.
Battle, you're talking about tough times.
Hey, Wanga hasn't survived anything. He's just back for a while. He hasn't survived anything.
There's nothing to survive.
Yeah.
All right, gents, before we move on from the Man United game, one question, one last one with regards to that penalty and Fernandes taking the penalty. And I asked the question to Celo on Twitter. Celo's saying Fernandes still going to be taking the penalties in his mind. With Ronaldo being in the squad, how much pressure does it put a player like Fernandes on and the rest of the players when you know he has a guy who takes all the penalties? So how do they progress? And also, what does the manager do moving forward in a scenario like this?
No, that does.
The next penalty Cristiano's taking for sure. For sure.
I think that pressure in itself is what assists Fernandes to put the ball over the bar, because he's the second thing as well. He doesn't use the same technique he always does. I think also he's also second guessing himself, like, okay, these guys know I'm going to jump. Maybe he's not going to do it. And then you also got Cristiano Ronaldo at the back that you can see he's, you know, trying to talk to him, trying to get his attention. And he's literally like zoned out. He's like, nah, this is mine. You know, interesting. But I mean, look, it happens in football. People will miss it. I think even Ronaldo at the time is probably thinking, look, the guy wants to prove something. He's probably been in the same place as well. That's why he ends up, you know, just giving it to the guy anyway.
Bruno has a better penalty success rate than Ronaldo.
But remember, Ronaldo's probably taken
that's,
more.
That's statistically speaking. More. Yeah.
That's okay. Cool. Ronaldo has taken more, man. But Bruno for Man United last season, I think he probably missed only one penalty for Man United season. Whereas Ronaldo,
Hello, we might as well compare you in there because you've never missed a penalty in your high school record.
Yeah,
so we might as well compare your stats to Ronaldo's.
Hey, man, I've never missed one either.
Oh, and Matt's never taken one.
But it happens.
No, but
that's basically 100%.
You're protecting your 100% record there, Matt.
At the end of the day, though. I feel that Bruno should still take the next penalty. I think if he misses that,
there's no chance.
If he misses that next penalty, then we can talk about changing penalty takers. But Bruno should still take that penalty. Ronaldo missed the penalty for Portugal in this international break. No one said that he must be off penalties. You know, no one said.
Yeah,
he must
but maybe,
penalties.
maybe in Portugal, then they'll have a sense that, you know, maybe for the next Portuguese penalty, Bruno should take it. I think it's unlikely.
They would never do that. They would never do
that.
Yeah,
but like,
so why must that, do that? Why must we do that at Man United?
Ronaldo.
Because Cristiano is actually a better spot take.
No, he's not. He's not.
Ronaldo, can we just stop this conversation, actually? I don't know why I open up the can of worms.
He's more predictable.
Here,
he's more predictable.
Ronaldo is arguably, when you're looking at the history of players, he's one of the greatest players. So if you've got him in the team, you let him take the penalty. If he misses, there's not much to be said because of what he's won. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
If I was coaching, what I would do is I would let him take the penalties. Let Bruno
until
just ride it all until he misses. Not even until he misses. Let him keep taking until he leaves the club. It's one of those things. Because then you don't have any problems. Because if he misses, no one can argue with the coach because the coach is playing, letting the best player in
the
world
right
or
thing.
In his team to do it. So if he misses, he misses. That's what I would do. And he's actually, Ole now, he's actually
now
given problems to Fernandes. He's also opened up the can of worms for himself. What?
Yeah. And that's what he shows. That's when he shows he's not a good manager, right? Like, if you've literally got some of the best players in the world, and the junior player in the national team is coming to say, look, I have a stake, I have my place here, I should do what I do. Cristiano says, go ahead, take your penalty. But you missed it, sir. I'm coming. It's literally saying, I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm literally giving you the opportunity, and he missed it.
Matt wants to weigh in here because he's disagreeing with what's being said. What do you want to say there, Matt?
So you're saying if Ronaldo misses, it doesn't matter because then they can't argue with the coach. But
100%.
Misses. So like they miss the penalty, they lose the points. I think the important thing here, and this is sort of one area where maybe Ole's actually done the right thing. Statistically, Bruno's the better penalty taker. He should be taking them because that's his job. In the same way that you're not going to make Ronaldo do everything. He's not going to drive the bus there because he's the best player in the world. He's not going to make the tee because he's the best player in the world. He's going to do his job, which is being the best player in the world, which is doing whatever that includes. And other players who are better at their job must do what they're there to do. You're not going to be like, oh, Ronaldo's the best at everything, so let's let him take every free kick, all the corners. He can write the theme song and sing it on the way in. Like,
he can't like Ronaldo for a reason.
And he should let all of them sing out loud.
Do you guys see the same thing with the fans after the game?
Yeah, they were doing this. I saw that. That was hilarious.
Yeah, guys, let's talk about the next game. Let's talk about the next game.
No, no.
We're running out of time.
Cristiano's going to take the next penalty or else Ole will get fired. That's the reality.
I beg Bruno to take the next one. He missed. I beg him to take the next one.
Look, I beg Bruno to take the next one as well, but if I was the coach, I wouldn't let him do it. That's all I'm saying. Gentlemen, I beg Cristiano to
take the next one, especially if it gets to 90 minutes and guys aren't sure about scoring on the day.
I don't mind.
See what happens when your team loses. Everyone becomes unruly. Also, shout out to Arjun, who's joined us. Shout out, Arjun. Welcome.
Arjun.
All right, Arjun. No update.
Arjun.
Okay, a little update from Nick's side. His team is riding their luck. The keepers has pulled off a fantastic save. 87 minutes play. They've also, the opposition, UFS, have just hit the crossbar as well. So they are, 3 minutes to play and they're still trailing. So just going to keep my eye on that one as it goes.
Let's get a goal. Let's get another last minute.
Come on, boys.
Take it.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Brentford 3, Liverpool 3. I think when you're looking at this on paper and you don't know what's happened the rest of the week, I think you're saying this is a terrible result. But when you're looking that Liverpool are still the only side unbeaten on the log, they've gone to a Brentford that have. I know you guys are going to laugh at this point, but they have beaten Arsenal at home.
When they beat them, we were poor. When you beat them, we were poor. When they beat us, we were poor.
And point is,
tell him. You guys remember that first week when Arsenal lost to Brentford and Claudio was like, how can you lose to them? They don't have much. Now, because it's a draw, he's like, remember, guys. This is a team, Matt, I thought you were not a designer.
You're not a UX man. It's all about data. It's all about data. Brentford are putting the data together where it's saying, actually, to get a point now in a stadium like that, in a team with being coached by the manager, there's a lot of energy there. And also, we're going to speak about that now in the Liverpool game in particular. I was just getting to the fact that as a Liverpool fan, like, you're disappointed. But then when you see everyone else's result, Liverpool aren't the biggest losers this week. And I think that's a positive for us. The biggest loser, Chelsea, bigger loser Man United in this scenario. And we are still top of the log. So I will take that. And then we're going to now talk about the game and the game in itself.
Mosa lost to a rival. He's at least better than me.
I lost to my peer. You lost to a newcomer to the league, or you drew to the newcomer in the league. So that's something to consider.
Come on, Tony.
I lost to a peer, Chief.
You drew against a newcomer that employs like some ridiculous method of recruiting players that doesn't even spend money and everything.
Did you just say ridiculous? The same method that's gotten them to the Premier League.
It's pretty innovative. An innovative method and a shoestring budget.
It's even precocious.
And they're precocious. Yes. Their owner is a professional gambler. He made his money by being a professional gambler, using algorithms to make money, and he became this big shot and whatever. But listen, Claudio, yes, you guys came out of the weekend looking good because you're 1 point ahead of everyone else, and you're still undefeated. But if we look at this game in isolation,
tough times.
When you guys look at your fixture list, do you think you targeted this as a game where you'd come away with a point? Or do you think the Liverpool team management would have looked at the fixtures list and gone, that's a game we want 3 points from? For our season plan, what we want in September is 3 points at Brentford. So either way, this is not a great result. It's not the worst of this weekend. Very true. But this is not a result that I think Liverpool would have been happy with. It's just like the Villa game last season, where remember you guys, what was it, 7-2 against Villa, and then again it was like you were able to brush it under because other sides had worse weekends than you guys. You know, you gotta face up. You gotta face up when something bad happens. You can't just brush it under the carpet.
It's tough times.
Well, I think it depends on how you view things, firstly, because everyone's talking like Pum's saying, you know, what did he say? A lost points, Liverpool. Remember, January is coming. I think this whole January is coming. It sounds like Game of Thrones. Winter is coming. Anyway, Jon Snow. We don't have Jon Snow, so we might be in trouble. But the point is, the result is the result, and the league's standing as it is. And when you're looking at it, objectively speaking, one thing I've learned in the past, and I think Wonga can tell us, when you start counting games that haven't happened and whether or not you should accumulate your here, you know, a lot of the time that doesn't happen. So you take what you have and you take it and you ride with it. As a manager, if you walk away and you go pissed, like I'm pissed off that I didn't get the result, you know, then there's, you're setting the wrong tone for the rest of the side. And when you actually look at the Brentford performance, yes, newcomers, yes, bees letting their sting, blah, 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 whatever, settle. When you're looking at that, you go, the team came with energy. The crowd was there with energy. And if you had to look at the game,
they were buzzing.
If you had to look at the game, it was one of the best sort of Premier League games so far this season. And arguably, it reminded me very much of the 90s, how end to end it was. So, and again, credit for a newly put side here who were trailing in Liverpool, and they still gave it to Liverpool. And I think Liverpool kind of switched off. They switched off and they came with them and they got the results. So in the end, while very well deserved point from Brentford. And yes, we're going to point out Liverpool's flaws. I mean, Salah could have won the game. He also takes off Curtis Jones, who was having a great game, also scored the third goal, then gets taken off and brings on Firmino, who also then misses a potential opportunity in the 90th minute to win the game. So all these sort of things, you've got to factor.
I was surprised he missed.
No, at the end of the day,
I did read a couple of statements, like tweets and stuff, where people were saying it did feel like Liverpool got a little bit complacent. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
100%.
Credit to Brentford, they pushed right to the end. But apparently, yeah. I think I didn't watch the game, but I did read a few people say that it did feel like the game was won, and then Liverpool sort of like had their eye on the midweek and then stopped really thinking about it and then let it slip away from them.
Well, definitely.
And that goes back to something that I want to say about you, what you're saying, Claude. It's like, you know, you can credit your team, or a manager can say, okay, this team was good on the day, so you can't get too pissed off. But that would be fair against a Chelsea, right? If you did draw against a Chelsea, where Chelsea were at their best on the day to get a good result. If you're playing a Brentford,
he's trying to justify actually that his side lost all 3 points and we walking away with 1 point, but we did it against Brentford. And so he's trying
also,
to justify
no, Chelsea. No, no, no. I'm trying to Liverpool say, like, did I'm draw with say Chelsea. A coach. Yeah, exactly. And on that day, the reaction that he's expecting from his coach, where the coach doesn't discipline all his players to say they drop the ball. That's a reaction you can expect when you do draw against Chelsea. When you're drawing against Brentford, the coach has to come hard on the players. That's a newly promoted team. You have to be looking at that team as licking your lips when you look at the team and saying you're going to be taking 3 points. If they do drop points and make it an open game, allow it to be an open game, your coach has to be pissed. He's going to be the most pissed person in the world, right? It's not a Chelsea where they might be tactically as astute or individually
look,
more brilliant.
Stop trying to make Chelsea relevant. This is a conversation about Liverpool.
Marcus has joined the conversation, guys, and he's asking a very valid question.
Yeah. He's there.
Where is Firmino? Everyone has forgotten about him. Okay, yeah. Look. Sam is right. Defense wasn't up to scratch. Pum's saying it shows that Liverpool is leaking. Also, can I just comment? This one game that they considered 3 games, which you can say, complacency set in, they were caught off guard. Liverpool have suffered 4 goals this whole season. 4, right? Who's Manchester United? 5 goals, right? That's the second best defensive record in the league as things stand.
No, third.
Third. We'll stop talking alone. Point is, I'm happy. Don't care what anyone else says. We've got Porto tonight. We're going to see where we're going. But it's time, gentlemen. It is time. Oh, what are we saying here? Sam, what are you saying? More sensible thinking. Liverpool. That should be censored on the show. You just get 1 point. Cloud, you thinking United and Chelsea lost points.
No, Liverpool.
We get at least the points. Everyone leaves happy. Yeah. That's also true. I think that's this man is a philosopher or is a philosopher. Okay.
He's correcting it now.
But was it Liverpool? Was it a clever play on words? That's a shame.
It works. Yeah, bring Bobby back in.
It is quite close to each other, actually, guys, on the keyboard, on a QWERTY keyboard, actually. I see it. It's okay. No.
Yes, son, gents. We're going to have a sad Nick here on Thursday if he decides to join us.
They've lost.
Tough time.
Ducks have been knocked out of the tournament. Semi-final.
Would there be a third place playoff?
There should be.
We don't know this because we went all the way to the end, so we didn't know what happened to the teams afterwards. But honestly, not a cocky sort of comment there.
Listen,
okay,
putting goals against a startup.
Yeah, that's what Klopp should be worried about. That's what Klopp would be thinking in his changing room. But these guys,
Poobs, no,
they're
man,
fucking drawing to a newly promoted team.
Brentford is a startup, bro.
Yo, it's a startup, man. Okay, fair enough. Okay, on that note, I'm okay to leave it on that note.
Okay, yeah? Fair. Yeah, Klopp's tone would be fucking crazy in the change room to say we just fucking drew to a startup, guys. We should have been a lot more professional over the course of the entire day.
Yeah, okay. I'm not gonna continue here. Okay. Arsenal 3, Spurs 1. We know Wonga started the conversation early on and we put him quietly in the corner here. Wonga, it is your time to shine. You got Matt here as well. You can say what you like because we know Matt's also been loud.
Yeah. No, I think, look, for me, it's a positive result. On the day, speaking about the game, Arsenal were, all over these guys. It's what I've wanted to always see in an Arsenal team. Passion, desire to win. You can see Arsenal wanted to. That's what also kind of worries me as well. Is that they wanted to win this game. You get what I'm saying? This is a game.
North London Derby.
Yeah, they wanted to win this game. Unfortunately, we need to win the league, guys. I think you need to try to do that with the other games.
No, that's impossible.
But, I don't think it's impossible. I just think again they had a bit more motivation for this game, you know. And again, it's funny, like when Henry says when they go and ask him did he enjoy the game, and he says, look, we have to win if I want to enjoy the game. That's what he said. That enjoyment is winning for him, you know. The winning was equals enjoyment, and I was like, yeah, it's different. Different sort of mentalities there, but I mean, look again. I can't put what happened. I can't underplay what happened. Tottenham. I think again, if when you give Matt a chance to speak, there you'll see Tottenham. Again, I just don't think teams will be giving us that much space in the midfield, especially.
Yeah.
You know? That was all the goals that we scored. We're coming from a counter, mistake
open,
in the midfield.
Open.
And then it was no one coming back, you know? I mean, if you didn't score then,
is that comment that Sam made? Open.
imagine, Cologne.
Open like Christmas celebrations, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so Carragher said it nicely. Yeah. He said it, there's only more space on the moon, you know? I think that.
Yeah.
It was the distance between the two center defensive midfielders that were playing on the day. It looked ridiculous. It almost looked like the same picture that you guys put on the group for Man United. It's identical. Yeah, yeah. You get one line on the box, and you get most of your players, majority of them forming another line majority on the box, majority forming another line in the halfway where you only got two or three. But again, Arsenal took the chances. They won. Even Xhaka.
He said he made some mistakes. He started negative first. Come on.
I'm waiting for the good stuff about Xhaka.
You start the negative because you don't want the negative to outshadow the positive. That's why I'm starting with the negative. I'm just saying, look, again, there were two mistakes he made that could have cost us dearly. You know, I think it was one. The second one was Ramsdale where I don't know what the hell he was thinking, but yeah, like we got away with that. But then again, yes, he did. There were moments I think he had definitely more positives than negatives in the game. But again, same thing with Xhaka. Xhaka's, it's for me, it's the same thing with personal performance. We need to see that more often. We need to see that more often with him. If I'm going to say, okay, yeah, I think this guy's going to, you know, get us past the line more often than not, you know. And I think, yeah, I think that sums up. And Aubameyang got his goal. I think the celebration said it all. Jeez, that was too nice this weekend.
No love for Smith Rowe.
Ah, guys, you know Smith Rowe, bro. I've always said this. I like the guy. Arsenal fielded the youngest team again. And our defense again. Our defense.
Let's talk about the samurai. I know we said it might be derogatory, but it's not derogatory, guys. It's a samurai is a it's a high standing.
So Lo wants to bring it back out here again. Let's just do it.
Man has done his research.
Let's talk about the samurai, man. Tomiyasu, man. He's my cousin is an Arsenal fan, and he was waxing lyrical about him to me. So yes. what do you think about him?
No, I enjoy him. I enjoy him on that side. Far better than Chambers. Far better than a Chambers, you know. Again, I remember I told you the time when they asked, I can't remember when they asked about Chambers, and the comment he said he was a nice guy. I think, you know, like that just tells you all the things about him, you know. Definitely have to play him. What Pepe didn't play. You see, Pepe again, like Musa says about Lukaku, is the same sort of feeling I have on a Pepe. You know, he's got to be delivering more. And unfortunately, that price tag is always going to be with him. But look what we had. Saka, I would do this every game. A Saka, a Smith Rowe, a Odegaard. I would have even put some, I would have maybe taken one of them off to put a Martinelli, you know. A Martinelli I'd play before any of the other guys Wonga. On there. But
you're messing things up, man.
How about this?
Well, Odegaard is the creative spark.
No, he's the difference. You know, you talk about the lines. You guys were talking about the lines.
The brain.
Hang on. Remember, you're talking about the lines. You got the McFred combo deep down. You got Odegaard's that difference where you can get on the ball now and you can start playing. You've actually got someone to hold the ball in the final third. He doesn't just kick it away and he actually picks a pass. That's the difference.
I don't want to start an argument when I'm not disagreeing with you guys. What I'm saying is, what I'm saying, I'll rephrase myself here. Maybe I said it wrong. Is that before Pepe comes on, I'm saying if I were to place one of them, I'd put a Martinelli on instead of a Pepe. Oh, that's what I'm trying to say. Instead of a Pepe.
He's higher up the picking order. He's not necessarily at the top, but he's,
not there. And also another guy.
Good save, Wanga.
I think another guy we need to play. Lukonga. I'll play Lukonga and Partey next to each other. That I think we need to do more often.
I think so too.
We always say we're playing for the future. Okay, Sharp, then put Chuck on the bench, put Lukonga on. Let's play for the future for real, if that's what he wants. A guy like Lukonga is definitely, if he's playing game in, game out, an intelligent player like that is going to improve quickly, especially in the Premier League. And I think he's one guy that needs to be given a shot. But yeah, again, good result. Tottenham, I won't lie, did play badly.
One last thing before Matt has his run out. Just a big question here from Colwa saying, Wanga and Selo, do you think Arteta would do a better job than Ole at Man United?
Guys,
Arteta would freeze.
They'd be the same.
I would freeze.
No, I think at least Arteta would at least have
identity.
You know, okay. So guys, I don't know if you guys remember how Arteta was as a player. Mm-hmm. If you guys remember how Arteta was a player, he was very much good on the ball. Cool, not world class, but he was a good top seven, top eight team.
He was a 7 out of 10 every week. He was consistent.
Exactly. Consistent, yes. You know what I mean? Gave heart and everything like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think him as a player, thinking of him as a player and where he's worked, which is assistant at City, I think at least he would know how to at least use certain players. He would not put Pogba on the left wing. That's what I know. He would not put Pogba on left wing.
Yeah, that's right.
You understand? Yeah. He would know that Pogba, his best attribute is making passes. Where can he make the passes? From the midfield. So I think that sense he would do better.
Makes sense. Yeah. I agree.
But that's the only sense. I don't think he's also kind of like figured out his whole approach.
He won't make us win the title, but at least he'll make us play a little bit better.
No one is allowed to finish their point this evening. That's what's going on here.
Could win a cup for you guys.
All right.
He knows
enough
cups,
of that. Enough of that. Matt, tough times now for Spurs. I mean, Nuno coming in, yeah. You heard me comment about the whole Harry Kane thing, and I actually think he would have been better off had the man left. Now you're sitting in a situation, in the situation that you're in. How do you break everything down?
Yeah, okay. So it was a bad day. Like, it was horrible. Fair play to Arsenal. I thought they played really well. You know, times are a bit different. There's actually a few Arsenal players I really like. I really like Saka. I think he's such a exciting young player. He's an incredible talent. He's got immense heart. He really shows it every time he plays. And on Sunday, we got to see why. He's a really talented youngster. Him, Smith Rowe, Aubameyang and Odegaard just had the run of us. It was very one-sided. And not to take away from Arsenal, because Spurs did play badly, but I think Arsenal, this is the best performance they've put in I don't know how long. Possibly.
Maybe under Arteta. Yeah, definitely.
Under Arteta, yeah.
And I think, but at the same time, our setup was completely wrong. The position of the Højbjerg was playing was way off. He was far too far forward. He was getting caught. He was lazy getting back. Him and Ndombele. See, Ndombele is one of those players where he's really useful to have in the side. He's really exciting and he makes awesome runs. He's really direct. He creates stuff. But then off the ball, it's just not good enough at the moment. I think it was the second goal, they were walking back and there was so much space. They ended up in the penalty box for the second goal. We had six players in the penalty box or something. None of them in the right place.
Kane was there as well.
Yeah, that was for Saka's one. That was Kane laid it on a plate for him. It was the best assist he's done this season. So I think
I don't think I've ever seen a tackling assist like that before in my life. That was.
I tell you what. Very few players could do that. I think you've got to give credit to Kane. That's not easy, you know, to time that slide just so. But the first half was an absolute disaster. There was no positives to be taken from it. Spurs really just weren't up to it. And after the break, we were a little bit better. I felt bad for Ali because I feel like he got sacrificed because the system wasn't working, not because he was necessarily playing any worse than anybody else on the field.
Sam's also asking about Ali, yeah.
Yeah, so I really rate Ali as a player. There was a couple of moments in the first half. There was one where he did that clever little header to set Son off, but he couldn't finish, unfortunately. Oh, I think he was offside as it happened. But I want Ali to get more game time. But in the system we're playing now, he's never going to do well because we're playing that straight 4-3-3, flat midfield. He doesn't have the space around him. He operates far better when he's just behind your front man. Like he's playing for that number 10 role.
Yeah.
And we're not playing that at the moment. So we're not getting the best out of him. So he keeps looking ineffectual, but it's not actually him not doing his job. It's him being played out of position. The same thing's happened to Højbjerg. He's being asked to go too far forward. He doesn't know where he's meant to be. We're losing the midfield battle every time. So, and again, our defense was lackluster. I think Tanganga again is showing his inexperience a bit. He was caught off position a few times. He was just not quite up for it. I think, you know, this is another learning curve for him. I do think he's going to be a phenomenal defender, but wasn't his day. Dyer, again, when he gets flustered, he gets out of position. There's too much space there. And I think that's something we really need to address. And overall, I think the system just isn't right. I don't think we're getting enough kind of fluidity. And Kane, I mean, you know, there's been a lot written about it, but he was off the pace, like significantly. Oof. He tried a few of those weird long range shots he does that go nowhere.
Is he not trying, or what is it? I don't know.
See, I don't know. It's I've always kind of thought that Kane, for whatever faults he's got, he's the kind of player who when you put him on the field, he's always going to try to do his best because he's just that way. He always wants to score the goals. He always wants to do them. But he doesn't seem himself. He seems off. His movement's even slower. Like even his ball control just looked not quite him. And if it's a factor of him being upset and wanting to be out of the club and not getting what he wants, you know, that's obviously something the club needs to address. And it's so unfair because you look at Son still doing the business. He's still making all of the clever runs. The goal he scored was classic Son. It was, you know, and classic Spurs. It was quick movement, quick passing, getting in behind. And then there was sort of that 2-3 minute period where he thought, you know, maybe we could do what West Ham did to us last season and suddenly get a draw we don't deserve out of nowhere. But, it didn't happen. The rest of the side just still, quick word for Oliver Skip. I think he's a really exciting talent. Him in the midfield, we did look far more solid. He does seem to offer something. But overall, just a very disappointing day. And Arsenal were full value for their win. They were the better side. Their movement and passing was fantastic. The runs they were making, Saka is just so dangerous. He sees the space long before anybody else does. And even Xhaka, and normally he's my favorite Arsenal fan because he's just good for the entertainment value. And even he had a good head on his shoulders on Sunday. Like he wasn't diving in. He was just, getting in the right position. Obviously, it helped that there was hardly anybody ever around them because our midfield was absent. I saw a cool tweet. It said, a lot of Spurs fans left the stadium at halftime. Fair play. They were still there for 45 minutes longer than most Spurs players. So.
That's unreal, right? I was, and it goes back to what Pumlani is saying. Spurs are a team who needs players who work hard in attack and in defense. And it feels like nobody's running at Spurs. Nobody even has the will, the sheer will to go up and, you know, just add a little bit more runs. I was listening at the game. There was a stat where they mentioned that Spurs is officially now the lowest running team in the league at this point in time, which is scary if you've got a new manager, right? Like you've just been manager of the month and now you're the boys haven't ran. Let's say.
Yeah, we cover the least ground. We create the least chances and we've had the most shots from open play.
But can we just unpack that a little bit? When you're thinking about how they used to play under Poch in terms of the distance that they used to cover and how close they came to all the things that they nearly achieved, right? They didn't achieve the things. Then, you know, the other managers come in. Then you also have technically on paper Mourinho, who's meant to be this guy who's meant to G this squad up. It doesn't work out. So how do you then have the same players and bring in on paper anyway, a second tier Portuguese grade manager to come in now and try and re-galvanize the squad. But you know what I mean? Like,
let's remember as well, guys. Let's remember as well.
No, I'm asking, like, how difficult is it for the manager to get the best out of these players who where the best couldn't, best managers couldn't do it is what I'm saying.
I'm adding on to something that you're saying there, but it's a different take as well. Is the fact that guys, remember when Spurs were searching for managers? How many managers did they were linked to? How many managers were they linked to? They
were
linked
to this
they were linked to Nagelsmann. They were linked to another German manager. I think it was Marco Rosa who went to Dortmund. They were linked to the guy who used to coach Roma. That is Portuguese, Francesca. They were linked to him. They were linked to
Conte, wasn't it as well? Conte.
They were linked to Conte. They were linked to another Premier League manager. I just forgot. You see, so they're linked to about five managers, guys. Five managers, and cool. Yes, this is six, and they took number six, or they took number five.
So I read about this just the other day, and apparently, the new director of football, Paratici, who's done some pretty smart work with the transfers.
Yes,
apparently
yes.
He was heavily involved in the manager search, and apparently it was him who was really pushing this need for a defensively minded manager, and that's how we ended up with someone like Nuno. Because, which is really frustrating because Spurs have never played well when we go defensive. We never look good when we're defending a lead. You know, you talk about just wanting a 1-0 win. Like, that's not
Spurs
normally
never
Spurs
been a defensive
way.
Team.
Spurs yeah, normally Spurs, team. Spurs have always been attacking football. You know, even you look at the famous quotes from us from like back in the 60s and the 40s and stuff, it's always about entertainment and having fun and giving the fans something to cheer about. And, our periods of success, and I don't just mean trophies, I mean just playing well and having fun, have always been when we've been on the front foot. I've always been exciting players who are going to go out and have a go, likes of, you know, back in the day, Hoddle, and then through Klinsmann and Gazza and all of them. It's always been teams who, it's been when we've decided to go, we're going to score goals and we're going to have fun. We might concede a few, but we'll hopefully score more. And that's what I was really hoping for. And in the preseason, Nuno played a couple of friendlies where he really did that kind of football, you know, kind of lulled us into the sense, oh, it's going to be fun again. And none of us were saying we're going to win trophies. It was just, it's going to be fun again. It's going to be fun to watch Spurs. And it just hasn't turned out that way. It's been really kind of, you know, just going to try and
But on that note, though, that first game against City, all of a sudden there was a team that was fighting for each other. It was against City. It was the first home game with the fans back in there. But the biggest catalyst there was the fact that Harry Kane was in the squad, and then he decides he stays. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, there's a huge drop.
Yeah.
I wonder, look, you never know what's going on behind the scenes. I wonder if that's a factor in it, and it very much could be. But it feels the kind of...
damn it.
The kind of...
we can hear you, Wonga.
Nah, it's,
keep going, but,
yeah, thank you, Sam. Your condolences are noted. Please, you know, if you feel the need to send me a daiquiri of sorts, I don't mind. But essentially, I think the way we were against Arsenal, that feels like something that's more than just one player not liking it. That feels worse than just Kane having a drop. It's almost like top to bottom, there's a problem. Like
everybody's out of the game.
Yeah, everyone's out of the right headspace. You know, nothing that Nuno says seems to make a difference. You go in and have a halftime talk, which appeared to be, let's not concede anymore. not we're going to go out there. We've got to do better than this. We've got to try win this game. It was just, let's just not make it any worse. And that's not how we've ever played, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, that's the worrying thing, is we don't even look like a Spurs side that I'm going to get excited about. I think this is going to happen a few more times. I think it could get worse before it gets better.
I just feel bad for Nuno, because yeah, he got all excited about Harry, having Harry in there, and then all of a sudden it's kind of imploding, and it's probably going to be the downfall for his Spurs career. But one name I want to talk about, and Selor kept mentioning this up prior to the transfer activity, is Ramsdale. And then we still ask the question, is he going to be number one for Arsenal? Isn't he going to be number one for Arsenal? I think, and Mosa, you've been quiet here. I don't know. I want to see your view on the fact of the performance he had on the day in particular, and whether or not now officially he staked his claim as Arsenal's number one, and also a man that Arteta can trust.
Arteta, first of all, I think Arteta cannot trust anybody in his squad at this point in time, because there's a lot of young players in that squad who are currently coming to the party and showing their mettle. The players that are coming to the party this year are the same players who kind of saved him his job last season, in terms of them coming into the fray, coming into the play and actually looking the part. So I think that's repeating itself again with Arsenal. And it's still like a very big consideration that they should have going forward, that, you know, they can't keep relying on these youngsters to get them into top four position. It's going to be neck and neck with the quality of the players that they're going to face going forward. Ramsdale, yes, he's been doing well. He's been looking the part for Arsenal in the game. He made a few good saves, which is why he's so well supported at this point in time. I don't know how Arteta, I don't know how Arteta is gonna make his decisions, like if he keeps a Ramsdale or not, because
has he not already made the decision?
If I'm looking at what he's doing, Ramsdale, he doesn't have to be putting off saves, but what he's showing is showing desire, and he's actually trying. And I think whether or not he's the best keeper in the world, that is infectious for back four. So I think that's what's impressed me about him. And obviously that save, and I don't know, Wonga's connection's a bit wonky, so I don't know if he can contribute to this comment.
I completely agree, since obviously I mentioned him a lot earlier, but I think he's made up his mind. There's no Europa League for a sharing of the duties. So I think Bernd Leno will definitely play the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup, and then Ramsdale will be the one, the Premier League goalkeeper. They spent 20 odd million on him. Bernd Leno will leave next season.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Drop mic.
The connection's not good.
He's probably listening to something that Matt was still saying right now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. gentlemen, that pretty much brings us to our final thoughts. Let's hear it from Matt, Selo, Mosa, and then Wonga if he's still there.
Oh man, I just want it to, I want it to be different, man. I want to enjoy watching Spurs again. It's like, you know, it's been so long. It hasn't been, to be honest, we haven't played the kind of football that makes you want to jump up and down since the Poch era, really, you know, where it was kind of like, we're just going to have fun. And there was a few games under Mason last season where he let Bale on and they just had fun. And, you know, that was exciting. You guys saw me. I was bouncing around. It was, and now it just feels very like we're just going to eke out the occasional draw or win. And then when we get opened up, we're going to get absolutely mauled. I'm not enjoying football right now, guys. It's tough. Luckily, my son started playing, so at least I get to watch some football I can be really passionate about until I get sent off by the ref for that, because apparently I'm a little bit loud.
I can imagine you're the sidelines, but like you're just going crazy and stuff like that, man.
Yeah, I'm that dad.
Lovely, love it, man. Project Mbappe on the way, man.
More like Messi, because he's going to be Matt's height, huh?
Project Messi.
My son will be taller than me. He'll be taller than me. There's some taller genes, you know, that are involved. But yeah.
And is your wife not from Madeira?
Half. On one
side. So maybe a little bit of a Cristiano Messi in there. We don't know. Let's see what's happening.
Yeah.
Right, so.
Sounds good. Sounds promising.
My final thoughts is, yeah, man, let's see what happens in the last two fixtures before the international break for my club. Hopefully getting favorable results. Hey, man, it's a bit of a tough time for me right now in terms of my teams. the one that in South Africa is not doing too well. So Man United should obviously fly the flag high.
Don't you want to say anything about Ole out in international break?
Nah, I said let's see the last two games. let's see the next two games, bro. What can I do? I'm gonna shout it from the rooftops. What's gonna happen?
It would be a very good time to say Ole out in the beginning of that international break. But those are just my little two cents.
What are you still saying Ole out? Like you've got these weird ones. Ole out and Lukaku out. Like you want them both gone. It's a weird
and
obsession.
And that's my final thought. Like with Lukaku, it's like literally, you know, we signed him as a big match player. He came into the squad and has been doing well against relatively smaller teams in the league. This was his opportunity to shine against the Man City team, which was going to be difficult to go up against. And he hasn't come through. And I think this is what I was talking about when I was like saying he isn't the finished article that we need to come through for us in the BMT game. So yeah, that's my little final thoughts.
Like he has one game where he doesn't score against City and you're prepared to write him off, but Werner is still there and you're still like, this guy's going to come right.
Even him. If Tuchel sends him to the B team, I'll be fine with it, man. Like they have to actually offload him as well sometime soon because a B team or a reserve team.
Second team.
Because they have to actually offload the boy. He really needs to get his bearings in again, like to know where the goal is again. The boy is lost. But anyway, that's just the story for another day.
Guys, at the end, when Claudio's done, just give us your predictions for the City PSG game.
I think firstly, Louis, who seems to have been on the line the whole time. Or the question gets asked, you know, what's happening in Liverpool City? And Louis pops up, 2-1 City. Okay, thank you, Louis. Second thing is, I mean, Sam, you asking this question. On Thursday is when we make the predictions. So let's not jump the gun. Liverpool are playing tonight. Porto tonight.
No,
it's not Liverpool.
Claudio, let's hear your prediction against City, Liverpool City.
Oh, I was looking at Louis' City 2-1. It's about City and PSG later, in a few minutes.
Sam wants to know the City Liverpool on the weekend, so we'll talk about that on Thursday. But PSG versus City tonight, already Louis saying 2-1.
Is that what Louis is saying 2-1 for? Or is he saying for the Liverpool?
Yeah, now I'm not sure.
Because getting ready for the weekend on Monday, Tuesday. Let's do this. I don't even know what day of the week it is.
Let's move on.
Some guys will be Wonga. Out from tonight, Chief. The weekend has begun.
Wonga, your final thoughts, man. Let's give us your final thoughts, Wonga.
Shout out to that.
I don't know if you guys will hear me, for me, I just want to say that, look, I think,
See, you said PSG.
For Arsenal, I think in all the teams, it's very early. It's very early in the season. So I think for everyone knows that anything can still happen from now. I think people can shift from top to bottom. Guys can go from the bottom to top. But yeah, I think it's still early. Even Arsenal with a good result.
Or 10th to 18th.
You guys are relentless, huh?
You can't rest. You can't just rest now. Hey.
Look, I just want to comment on the fact
it's a good result for us.
No. Finish.
No, I'm saying it was a good result. It's a good result for Arsenal, but I think we still got a lot. For me, we still got a lot to prove. Like Ramsdale, it's one match. Good save. I need to see more of these saves, bro.
And it's just more. You're going to see a lot more.
All right, gents. Mosa, Sam's saying Chelsea have great fixtures, by the way. And on that note, I just want to comment on the fixtures that Man United have. So you keep saying Ole out. I mean, Man United's next game, Everton, who seem to be doing all right this season. It's going to be a tricky game against Rafa. Then they follow that up Leicester. Then it's Liverpool, Tottenham, Man City, Watford, Chelsea, Arsenal.
Yeah.
Tough times.
So about that, if Ole doesn't come out in a decent, in good shape out of this, I think your predictions might finally come true. Also, let's just say if it does come true, you're the oracle, even though you preach it every time you're on. But my final thoughts is Brentford is coming for you, sir. Coming for you, sir. Coming for you, sir. That's it, Brentford. They're coming for you guys too. Right. And on that note.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you want to say? What do you want to say?
I just
because they drew. Now everybody's getting Brentford.
We must all look at our opposition through this lens of what did they do to Liverpool? Like, the season is our own. We really we're gonna play it as Tottenham each week. Like, you know, okay. Liverpool must worry more about Liverpool.
Let's all see what the rest of us do against Brentford. But I suspect that myself, Musa and Matt, we will do better than what Liverpool did.
At Brentford.
Wait, don't put me in. I agree.
Now it's at Brentford. Okay. At Brentford.
Wait, did Liverpool play them at Anfield? No, they did not. So then how are we changing the conditions to this?
At Brentford. So a 1-1 is a better result because you conceded 3. A 2-2 is a better result. And a win is obviously a better result. Right?
Yeah.
Because we're saying better results. All I'm saying is they're going to take points off you. That's all I'm saying. Exactly. Better results. Now we've got better results. Let's scrutinize the very fine detail of the result.
He doesn't understand why Klopp would be fucking pissed off with the players because that 3-3 happened. How dare it happen to Brentford?
We're playing Porto tonight. That's why we focus on the Champions League. Also, Warren's saying, why does everyone seem so touched tonight? I don't know. Just check the results, Warren.
It's been an emotional weekend, Warren. Did you watch the football?
Imagine Arsenal won.
That's
Arsenal.
All of this happened. This is my outlet.
Arsenal. How could that happen in one weekend?
Lost his head up,
Booms is hitting that brilliant comment here again. Thanks, Booms. Liverpool lost.
Just caught up.
We got the W, Wanga.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Remember, gentlemen, if you don't know what it be.
Be cool.
Be cool. Be cool. Be cool. Be cool.